reading you from the 21st chapter of Revelation and with the 7th verse. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, again, the new year's here. What are we going to do with it? Are you going to win some souls this year? Are you going to try to share Jesus with so many people? Oh, friends, listen, there's so many hurting people out there tonight. People that you might not even dream are hurting. If they don't know Jesus, they are hurting. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of hot coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and let's begin reading with the 18th verse. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices, and many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the price of them, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Well, this is book burning time. You see, Ephesus was the third capital of Christianity. There was Jerusalem, Antioch, and then Ephesus, a large city noted for being the location of the Temple of Diana, the most magnificent building in Asia Minor, but a center of sorcery and superstition. You know, a lot of people don't think it's nothing to play with an Ouija board. I guarantee you, friends, that's sin and it's evil and it'll get you in trouble. Don't know how. I must have did something. I bought a book or something. But lately I've been inundated with letters from psychics. And all of them, I just toss them in the garbage. You know what, friends? I don't believe in psychics. I don't believe in fortune tellers. I don't mess with those things or card readings. Those things are evil and they're wrong. And you would be surprised at the Christians who partake in this nonsense. It is a dangerous practice and should not be partaken by Christians. Paul's powerful ministry in Ephesus. He stayed probably there the longest in any city. 2 years. He was in Ephesus. He spent 3 months ministering in synagogues. Then he formed a church. Now listen, the results were miracles, transformed lives, and many new believers. This is what our churches should be experiencing today. Has God changed? No, he hasn't changed. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's a command from our Lord and Savior, and we're not doing it. I remember, this is a very unusual story. Reverend Tom Baird and his wife had just finished seminary in Southwestern down out of Dallas. And Dr. Madam came in from Portland. He was the executive director of our association or convention, I should say. And he said, we're looking for 100 preachers to come to the Northwest to establish churches and missions. Tom Baird turned to Ann and said, Ann, I want to go. Would you go with me? And she said, well, sure. Now, all they were guaranteed is $100 a month for 1 year. And then they were on their own. Well, Tom Baird and his wife bundled up their two little children and put all their life possession in a little trailer and come to the Northwest, rented a house, went over to a lodge hall and rented it and started a little mission. Well, friends, then you know the rest of the story. And then one night, about 3 o'clock, Reverend Tom Baird got a call from an alcoholic who was crying. He was in the right place at the right time. And there is where I heard the greatest love story ever told to mankind. And my life was transformed from that day on. Oh, friends, I'm so glad that Tom and Ann had faith to step out on faith and follow the Lord. If he had to have been there, listen, I'd talked to 6 other preachers before I talked to Reverend Tom Baird. But not one of them ever told me about Jesus. They didn't tell me that my life could be transformed. They didn't tell me that I could have a born-again experience. They did not. Tom Baird told me that. Now, our church is not experiencing revival and things like that because we don't believe that that's... You know what a revival is nowadays? Well, a preacher says, let's get together and have a weekend revival. They don't pray about it. They don't ask the Lord to send a revival. They have a couple little prayer meetings and they expect God to come in and to move in that church. It's not going to happen until we surrender our all in the altar and say, Lord, revive us. I recall I don't know how many years ago it was, but I was called to a church in Hamilton, Washington. And this little church, they've run, I guess, a couple hundred, maybe 100, I don't know how many. But anyway, the pastor didn't really particularly like me, but some of the people did. So they called me for, it was supposed to be a week's revival. And God saved so many people that they voted and had 2 weeks revival. And there were 50 people saved during that revival. And T.T. Smith's wife, she too accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Do you know one of those men are in over in Afghanistan? He surrendered to preach during that revival. Turned out to be a great preacher and a great chaplain. And I tell you, friends, we ought to pray 2 or 3 times a day for our men and women who are over there and around the world. And they're on ship, they're Marines, they're in the Air Force and the Navy. Oh, friends, I tell you, I thank God for those men, and I just get so mad when people say terrible things about our servicemen and call them warmongers. They're doing a job that they want to do or are called to do. And we as Christians have a job to do and we're called to do, and we should be doing it too. Well, why these new believers burned their books? Well, book burning revealed their personal faith in Christ. Listen, today, my beloved friends, did you know that our churches, most mainline churches in America, have done away with their hymn books? I'm not telling you a lie. And now they're shooting little 7-Eleven ditties up on a board. Oh, I love you, Jesus, love you, Jesus, love you, Jesus, Jesus, love you. You know what? I'm telling you, friends, when they took old Rugged Cross out of our hymn books and there's power in the blood, and what a friend we have in Jesus, that is the most powerful messages. And this dear blind lady that wrote all those songs, she said, I once was blind, but then I can see. Friends, listen, when people was confronted with this nonsense about these books and all this sorcery and superstition, the people who put their faith and trust, what they do, they burn their books. And that revealed to the world what they believed. Here it says in verse 18, many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. Many Ephesians believed and confessed their faith openly. Friends, you know, there's just no place in Christianity for silent disciples or secret disciples. That's right. We need to let the world know where we stand. Those Muslims sure are not afraid to tell people they're Muslims, and yet we can't even talk about it. If you read that book of Quran, you'll know what a bunch of evil, godless people the Muslims are. They're godless. They have nothing but hate in their heart for the Jews and for you and I. They call us infidels. And they're always talking about when they die, they're going to be met with so many virgins. Well, I got news for you, dear friends. There's no marriages given into heaven. They don't read the Bible. They have no idea what the Bible says. And yet they make up things and make people believe them. They're the fastest growing denomination in the world. Oh, they are. Do you know why? Because they don't deal with sin. In Christianity, we deal with sin because it was sin that put Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He laid down his life for you and I that we might be born again, blood bought, and have a home in glory someday. Those who had been involved in sorcery burned their books. See, when, you know, I told you I was an alcoholic for many years. The very morning that I invited Christ into my heart, he delivered me from alcohol. I had no longer had another desire to drink booze again. Who did that? Jesus. Why did he do it? Because he took out my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. Someone said to me not so long ago, Cecil, are you going to be stupid enough to sit there and tell me that if a person drinks, he can't be a Christian? I never said that. I said Christians who drink are not very good Christians, and they don't really want to be soul winners for Jesus. Friends, and you know something else? I smoked like a steam engine from the time I was a teenager. Now, God delivered me from alcohol. He sure did, the morning he saved me. But I kept those cigarettes for myself. Now, I was convicted that very morning by the Holy Spirit of God that I had to give up those cigarettes, that it was hurting my testimony, and I just got saved. Well, it took me 9 months to finally surrender those cigarettes to the Lord. And then he delivered me from tobacco. And I want you to know, friends, if you smoke today, please ask the Lord. I'm not looking down my nose at you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, you ask the Holy Spirit of God what he wants you to do about your smoking and your drinking, and you would be surprised. He'll tell you, give him up if you want to be used of God. These books had meant so much to these people before their conversion. They considered these books to be sacred sources of guidance. They really believed that. Listen, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. So naturally, they didn't understand. You see, folks, if you're unconverted and you open this book, this Bible, and try to read it, I'll guarantee you'll be more confused than you've ever been in your life because you don't have the Spirit of God. You've not been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God and made alive. The minute you confess your sins and tell the Lord you're sorry and invite him into your heart, he will give you a new heart and he will fill you with his Holy Spirit and you'll begin to understand the Bible. Right now, if you're unsaved, it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. They looked upon these books as the tools of astrologers and psychics. I do not mess with astrology. I don't look on those things and you're born 1/2025 and this is what you're supposed to happen to you. Don't go for that stuff. It's not right. It's evil. Now these believers would look to Christ for guidance. They wanted to burn their bridges behind them, depending completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Book burning became their public testimony for Christ. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the prices of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Book burning became their public testimony for Christ. They burned their books before all men. They wanted people to know, I do no longer believe in this garbage. I said, the morning I was saved, I realized that I used to use God's name in vain constantly. That was the way I talked. Used God's name in vain. But the minute Jesus come to my heart, he showed me that that was wrong. You know what, friends? I got to testify to this. One time, three or four months after I was saved, one time I lost my temper and I used God's name in vain. Did you know what I did? Immediately, I bowed my head and I said, oh, God, please Forgive me, you know I didn't mean that. Don't use God's name in vain. I just hate it when I hear Christians say, oh my God, I hate that. They don't know it's wrong, but it is. Well, flames reaching upward declared, we trust Jesus, when these old books were burning. Say, we don't believe these books anymore. We believe in Jesus. Some people shrink from public identification with Christ. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of... Hey, you know what time I went to a place and Ed Pearson didn't want me to ask the blessing because we were in a restaurant. Friends, listen. When I don't ask a blessing in a restaurant or at home, I'm denying the Lord. We ought to ask the blessing upon our food that God provided. Some people want salvation's blessing, but not its reproach. Now, if I told you today that a Christian life was easy, I'd be the biggest liar this side of Pocatello. That's right. If I told you the Christian life is hard, but so is the life of an alcoholic. The difference is, when we have Jesus, he'll go with us through our trials and tribulations. You are never alone. I'm going to tell you this story about a doctor who was a converted alcoholic. And what happened, one day a man come in to get a physical for his life insurance. And he said, hey, doc, I know that you used to be an alcoholic, but you don't drink anymore. But listen, do you ever be tempted when you're alone to drink? And the doc said, I suppose I would, but I'm never alone because Jesus is with me. Oh, I like that. Jesus is always with you. Some people hide their light instead of letting it burn in the night. Some people refuse to be baptized and shun church membership. Well, friends, if you're born again, blood bought, and you have not followed the Lord in New Testament baptism by immersion, that's right, then you are disobedient unto the Lord. My wife, she got baptized the day I did. She wasn't born again. She was a head believer. That's all she was. And so I told her later, I said, gee, now that you're saved, you're going to have to get baptized. Well, I have been. I said, no, you haven't. You went down a sinner and you come up a sinner. You need to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism by immersion. And one day, the Lord really spoke to her heart, and she followed the Lord in New Testament baptism. Guess what happened? She told me later, you know what? That Bible become alive to me. Why? Because she was obedient unto the Lord. No, it will not get you into heaven. You say, well, Cecil, I'm a Catholic. I was baptized when I was a child. Well, that's fine, but that's not baptism. That's sprinkling. And I'm not making fun of the Catholics or any other religion that sprinkles. A Methodist sprinkle, a Presbyterian sprinkle. But you really, if you read the Bible, you will find that baptism is by immersion. Our Lord and Savior was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. He went down under the water, and when he came up, he heard the voice of God saying, this is my Son, and with whom I am well pleased. Then the Holy Spirit appeared. And there's the first time that we saw the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Bookburn revealed the value they placed on Jesus. They counted the price. These books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now, what's your price? These bookburners loved Jesus more than their possessions. And they wanted everyone to know that Jesus came first in their lives. They were completely committed to him. He came first, whatever the cost. Have you considered the cost of Calvary's cross? How will you respond to such love? And what keeps you from surrendering everything to him tonight? Now, he stands right now with outstretched arms, and he's saying, come unto me, child. Let me give you a new life. Let me take away your sins and wash them in my precious royal blood and to throw them in a sea of forgetfulness. That's what he's asking tonight. You say, well, Cecil, look, I've gone to church. I've been religious. Friends, I don't care how many times you went to church or how religious or how many times you've been baptized or how many times you've prayed the sinner's prayer. Unless you repent, that sinner's prayer is nothing but words. That's right. If you have a tugging at your old heart tonight, and you feel a need for Jesus, and you're tired of your wasted life, won't you come to him and pray the most powerful prayer known unto man? And here's how it goes. Precious Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I don't care what church or what denomination you go. I don't care. I want you to go to heaven. Bring your sins to Jesus. That's 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended. As the king comes through the gate, happy faces line the hallway, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolded. Heaven's grandstands all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. Ah, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming.
Well, friends, for the past hour, your half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you so much for listening tonight. Oh, friends, listen, Jesus is coming back. Yes, he sure is. You better keep your ears listen toward heaven, because that trump's going to sound someday. Oh, friends, he's going to take us out of this sinful world, take us to be with him. He'll wipe away our tears. No more sorrow, no more discouragements, no more heartaches. No more heart attacks. Well, if you're ready, friends, and if you're not ready, please call me. Let me know. I won't jump all over you. You can ask me questions. I may not know all the answers, but I can find them for you. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.